Yeah. Let's freaking go. The best second half in LSU history. I don't know in any sport I have ever witnessed anything quite like that as an LSU fan. It was 50-49 at half. And goodness gracious, Kim Mulkey, this has been a problem for LSU this season. They have had some issues in third quarters. Now, they had that crazy comeback in the third quarter earlier this season versus Kentucky, but holy moly, I literally don't know where to begin with what we just all witnessed. I feel like we are potentially watching something beyond special happen, because anyone that's watched his team for a good bit this year, you know that you had not seen that all year. And obviously the superstars were the superstars. Anissa Morrow is definitely one of the 10 best women's basketball players I've ever seen at LSU. Flauje Johnson and Mikayla Williams very well could be as well. And this right here could be the best big three that LSU has ever had. So look, the bottom line is this team was amazing tonight, and you probably would not have thunk it after the way Florida State controlled certain portions of that second quarter. Bottom line is, number one, it feels good as hell to finally beat Florida State in something after what happened in football. But the second thing is that this game was all about the role players. We have been talking about Day Wilson all season, the big 5-0, one of my favorite jersey numbers in all of sports. She really brought the energy, even though she doesn't start. Poa is your starting point guard. She definitely set the offense and got everyone going. And then obviously Samaya Smith was amazing. This is just an amazing story. Obviously her leg was just basically off the bone last year, and now she is one of the best role-playing post in the country, and she is playing her best basketball of the season. And it wasn't just wide-open things. She was showing some great nuance. But on top of all of that, the ball movement was so freaking good. And here's the thing. You take your LSU fan hat off. Let's just say you are not an LSU fan at all. The guy calling the game was an Arkansas Razorback, Jimmy Dykes. You could tell as a basketball fan, he coached in the SEC as a women's head coach. He's played the game at a high level. You could tell he was legit floored by what happened. So type Y for yes, type N for no. LSU will make the Final Four. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Now, there are a few other things. Defensively, of course, it was a tough first half. But, man, the adjustments were amazing. In Florida State, they just could not keep up with what we had offensively in the second half. And they also couldn't keep up with what we were doing defensively. So, look, we can get into the NC State matchup later in the week. Obviously, they said LSU will fly out to Spokane, Washington. That's some really good exercise science. I know it's more expensive, of course, to make the early trip out west, but you have got to get your body clocks ready to go, because you are going up against an NC State team that was obviously in the Final Four last season. And on top of that, if you win that game, you'll have Lauren Betts and UCLA more than likely, and they are definitely going to want to get revenge after what we did to them last season. So You know, for me, I think the biggest change, and they did this, and I, for those that don't know, I was able to go to the San Diego State game. I made the drive down there just to say I could go to a March Madness game. Look, I felt in that game that LSU played really good, but the opponent was terrible. Today, Florida State was a really good opponent. And the thing that got so much better was the passing. So if you go back and actually look at that San Diego State game, there were so many instances where LSU was able to pull off some dangerous passes, like cross-court, very difficult passes, and some of those led to turnovers early versus Florida State, and there were some rough passes early in that game versus San Diego State. The second half adjustments that led to all these open baskets, I am not John Wooden. I can't give you the intricacies of every set that they ran, but goodness gracious, it was ridiculous. So I am really pumped up, really, really, really pumped up for what I just witnessed. Even if we lose versus NC State, all we can say is that Kim has this team playing the best that we have played all season long. And one thing to keep in mind, all right, just to temper some expectations, just to level this out, because I want to be LSU fanboy all the way until the time for the NC State game later in the week. But there have been a lot of blowouts in the women's tournament, an obscene amount of blowouts. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier. Iowa, who obviously doesn't have Caitlin Clark anymore, they got their asses kicked on the road. It was another 3-6 matchup, and they got torn to pieces. And I think it was, who was it? I'm drawing a blank. I was watching the game earlier today, but they were just absolutely mauled. There have been a lot of these games where the lower seeded team just crumbling on the road. What I would also say is that I am not sure if I've seen a team play as good as LSU did in this second half today. I honestly don't know outside, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, this was the best game we played since the Iowa National Championship game. And that just goes to show you how good of a coach Kim is and getting us ready for this tournament. And the other thing that should get a lot of credit is the load management of Flauje Johnson. I'm so damn glad that she did not tough it out and play the final bit of the season on an injured leg. I'm so glad we had that extra day of rest for Anissa Morrow, because they're both, for the most part, fully healthy. And the funny thing about it was we really didn't need Big Foe to go off for us to win today, even though she did play fantastic. So we'll take a look at the box score here in just a second, but we're going to take some of your comments. Starting off with David, the free throw shooting was outstanding. The field goal percentage, I mean, that was the best. I'm telling you, since Iowa, there will never be a game better than Iowa for us. But since the Iowa game, that was the best offensive game we have played. All right. Kim let a fire under their butt at halftime. I'm pretty sure she did. And, you know, let's go to Pierce. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Obviously, you know, I have a lot of Del Rosario hot takes. Leandria, we say hi to you. We say hi to Brian. LSU beer. Okay. But the bottom line, we are playing at an unreal level right now. Really, really, really unreal level. And honestly, there was a piece of me that kept saying to myself, hey, this isn't really us versus San Diego State, because Florida State's going to make it so tough. I thought this game was going to be very close. And it was, until it wasn't. And I also want to shout out, you know, we did the show last night from Kinder, Louisiana. I want to shout out Lisi Dex Productions. We have some really fun content coming out. I went down there to shoot some videos. But, man, I have to give a lot of credit to the crowd. that was not an easy game to attend for a few reasons. The first is that, yes, the tickets were affordable, but fans did not know what time the game was going to start on Monday. So on Saturday, right after the game was announced versus San Diego State, you did not know. You honestly did not know what time the game was going to start. And they end up putting the game at probably one of the worst possible times, 5 p.m. Anyone that knows Baton Rouge traffic, you know it is a disaster to get over there at 5 p.m. Central. And what happened? The PMAC was absolutely litty. I almost said litty as a you know what. But still, give the crowd a lot of credit for making it there. But, you know, look, you're looking at the box score right now, and man, I just can't get over Cheyenne Day Wilson. I know she only scored 2 points, but those 5 assists were so critical for us. And I think we have found our best lineup. It's 54-12-5-24. That is our best lineup. Miracle Shepherd had a good game versus San Diego State, did some good things today with the 4 rebounds and 3 assists with 2 steals. But, you know, we could talk about the role players all we want. Our stars are playing at an absolutely ridiculous level. Anissa Morrow, 26 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, almost a rare triple-double that you rarely see in women's basketball. You rarely see in any level of basketball. Samaya Smith, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals, 1 block for Samaya. Michaela, 28 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. And Flaje Johnson, 13 points, only had to take 8 shots. But the crazy thing about Samaya Smith is she took 12 total shots in this game, including free throws, and she made 11 of them. So they were high, efficient shots. She was hitting those mid-range jumpers, and that was just an all-timer from number 5, who's had to play so many minutes and do so much dirty work. And then obviously you take a look at you know, their superstar. She was amazing. You can see her season stats, 25-4-4 on a 45% field goal percentage. LSU went into this game saying, look, Latson is awesome, but you take a look. She had 30 points, but 5 turnovers, 2 of 10 from 3-point range, 11 of 26 overall. And on top of that, you have Malia Williams, which is Timu, Michaela Williams. She just could not keep up. She had a tough game. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 of 5 shooting. All right. Sydney Bowles. I hope she's okay. She had a pretty nasty injury. Actually, that was Michaela Timpson that had the injury. Hope they're healthy. But I'll be honest. If I get my ass kicked that bad and I'm only down by 1, I am permanently scarred. So there you go. Let's go to Chance. Let's get into a few negatives. All right, we'll talk about Del Rosario here in a second. Jersey Wolfenberger might have the worst hands ever, while Morrow has the best hands ever. Yeah, you know, I am very shocked at LSU not having another post player outside of Samaya and Morrow, who, let's be honest, okay, when it comes to post players, 2 players will always be ahead of everybody else. And that, of course, is Angel Reese and Sylvia Fowles. With that said, like, Anissa Morrow is not far off from them. And she's 6 foot. And obviously, both of them are taller. So, like, Anissa Morrow might be my favorite LSU women's player ever. Like, first off, she wants to be a sports broadcaster. She's probably better at that than me, and I've been doing this my whole life. But on top of that, to transfer in and be the player that she's been, so unfreaking believably consistent, and just this amoeba, right? This player who can honestly fit in any system. And everyone wants to talk about, hey, you know, she's not going to be a great player in the WNBA because, you know, she's only 6 foot. Good luck. You want to pass on her in the draft? You do that, team. But she is one of the best LSU athletes I have ever seen, any sport. And I'm talking about, like, what she's accomplished and her actual just athleticism. It's just ridiculous. I mean, she, like, for the youngins out there, and it's not quite an apples to apples comparison because it's men's versus women's and whatnot, but this is kind of like, it feels like Charles Barkley in many ways. She's just a ram. Like, you can't do anything with how freaking powerful she is. And Barkley was only 6'4", and he played like the biggest guy on the court. Morrow is 6 foot. Now, go stand to someone next to you, or if you're 6 foot, and obviously, once again, it's different men's, women's, and all of that. Yo, even if you adjust for height, to dominate the games in the paint the way that she does at 6 foot tall is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yes, Wolfenbarger is just an issue. I don't know why, because she was a fine player at Arkansas, but man, with the way that Morrow and Somaya played, you really don't need that other post player. Now, it would be nice, because if one of them do get in foul trouble, you are in a lot of trouble. All right, let's go to Barger. What do you see that was the most impressive, and what do you think we need to improve to win the chip? All right, so let's take a bigger picture look at the championship, if you will. All right, so I wasn't able to sit and watch the game, but apparently South Carolina didn't look all too great versus Indiana. So if you want to talk about like winning a championship, obviously South Carolina is the standard. If I had to pick a team to win it all, it would be UConn. It just kind of feels like their year. The Azzy Fudd story is really good. It does feel like it's their season. And, you know, there's also the aspect of they're the biggest brand in the sport alongside South Carolina. So they are probably going to be in the Elite Eight. And that'll be the biggest Elite Eight matchup since Kim versus Caitlin last year. That would be big. You know, you got Juju Watkins. The good thing is the same thing I felt about the bracket when it was given to us. This was a favorable bracket. I do not think Notre Dame would have been a good matchup for us. I do not think so. I also don't think TCU would have been a great matchup for us. I think we match up fine with NC State. Now, I have vaguely watched them. Now, obviously, we'll do a lot of film study and stuff before the game. We can win that game. And UCLA is a better team than us. They've got better, I guess you could say, bench players. We have four very, very, very good players, especially if Somaya plays at this level. We have three superstars. I think you would take LSU's three best players over everybody else's three best players, maybe outside of UConn and maybe outside of a few others. But, you know, they said it during the broadcast. This was the first time LSU had three All-SEC players on the same team. So you have the NC State situation. You've already beaten them earlier in the season. And on top of that, all the pressure is on them, right? LSU's got a natty. This is the year after Angel Reese. You know, we're going to be very good going into next season. All the pressure is on UCLA and NC State, because NC State obviously didn't just win a natty. They came up short last year. And this is a now or never year for UCLA with Lauren Betts, of course. And she is the best post player in the country. I will take Anissa Morrow every day because I'm super biased LSU fan, but Lauren Betts is the best player. Okay, we can make the Final Four. If our big three play like this, we can win the whole thing. And I was wrong about that before the tournament. I was like, I just don't see a path forward for us to win the whole damn thing. Sorry. We have a chance. We have a legitimate chance. And I understand we have all been critical of how this team plays from time to time. Y'all, anyone that's watched this team, you would have never have thunk that that second half was about to happen. Never. Not a single person could have predicted that. We thought for certain that we were just going to let them hang around. But the bottom line is we absolutely mauled them. We can win the Natty. We can definitely win the Natty. So, look, can it be done? It's probably not likely. I am liking our Final Four chances, though. It's going to be hard, but I like our chances right now. All right. Now, what was the most impressive thing? We touched on this a minute ago, but we do have a bunch of people, you know, filing in here. It has to be the passing. It really was amazing. Some of it, I think, was Florida State just getting tired. But to move the ball as well as LSU did was astonishing. Like, that is how basketball should be played. And you guys know I am a big process over results guy. And don't get it twisted. I'm so glad we beat the living daylights out of them. But it's almost the how over the actual result. And I know it's NCAA tournament time. Win any way you can. I totally get that. But if you were to say, hey, we blew the freaking brakes off of Florida State in the second half, the first thing most of us would say is, okay, it was Flage just going off. But it wasn't that. She played really well. It was everyone. Everybody playing their absolute best basketball of the season. And look, we have had disastrous third quarters. The Texas game comes to mind. We've had amazing third quarters. The Kentucky comeback comes to mind. But God, we're cooking right now. We are freaking cooking. And it's a good day to cook. Chef Mulkey. Maryland. That was a great game. I was watching that as well. It's crazy that Alabama has not been to a Sweet 16 in women's basketball in 28 years. That is insane. But a lot of people were mad that they did not get a home court seed. That's why it's so important just to get in the top 16. And if there was one thing I would change about men's March Madness is I would allow the home games to be played on home soil from the top four seeds. And you won't get as many upsets, but you're not getting upsets anyway. I like the fact that you benefit a team like LSU that wasn't the best team, but they were one of the better teams, and they were given home court advantage. And it matters. It doesn't matter as much because they changed the court seating arrangement, but it matters in a big way. That's why you saw so many blowouts. Okay? Max says, I love the Charles Barkley comp. Yeah, if you've ever, and it's not so much like their style of play. It's just like, I have become radicalized by this. Basketball, and I know this is going to be like a no-duh thing, but basketball is so much harder if you're shorter. It just is. Like, and Morrow is 6 foot. She is 6 foot tall. And she's, like, so much better at rebounding and scoring and finishing around the goal. It's crazy. It's just ridiculous. I do not see a world where she's not a very good WNBA player. And I've heard the, she's only 6 foot and she needs to take outside shots or all that. It's just malarkey. Some people are just special. And she is special. We haven't talked a whole lot of Mikayla Williams. God, I mean, Jimmy Dykes kept saying that she's going to be the SEC Player of the Year next year. And this is, you know, what we all expected. Look, I understand if you were to pick a player to build around next season, it would be Juju Watkins. And there's others that are probably ahead of Mikael Williams, but man, like, how many rising juniors will be as hyped as Mikael Williams going into next year? Not many. You know, just not many. So really pumped up for MK12. And, you know, she's not won a natty. She has not won a natty. And you can go back and listen to our interview with her. It's still the highest viewed interview we've ever done here on PHL, and it's not really close. She's got a huge fan base, as many of you know. It is ridiculous how much better she can even get than what she is right now. And she works so hard. She's a great person to be around. She's also a very affable personality. She never thinks she's too big for the room. You know, we shared the video of her dust panning the floor before a high school all-star game. And she didn't know cameras were rolling or anything. She just did it. That's just who she is. So, you know, this team is just likable. So there you go. Oh, Big Baby Davis? Okay, I can get down with that. I also like this photo. What is this? Mississippi State? Looks like Foster Moreau there at the end. What game is that? Well, I actually might be older than that. Let's say Will Clapp at center, so I'd be a little bit further back. I got to know what game that's from. Let's go to Sherry Berry. She's one of the sharpest women's basketball minds that we have here on PHL. So glad she rested Big Four in the SEC tournament. Yes, SEC tournament means Jack Swat. Oh, this was the A&M game. Oh, that's A&M. Okay, that's not Mississippi State. I need to get my vision checked. So, we play A&M at home on even years. It wasn't 2019. So, is that 2017 A&M? 2015 A&M? I don't know. Tell me. Let's go to Cole. Cole, how was the game? We'll talk some baseball coming up. Layups due to unselfish play was your biggest takeaway. Okay. I'm sorry I was not able to make the trip Friday to Austin, Texas. I decided to go to Baton Rouge. Instead, I'm actually really happy that I did, even though I would have seen my dear beloved LSU baseball Tigers get a big victory. I'll let you in a little bit on my weekend. So I went to the women's game. I thought it was great. I got to meet one of my favorite LSU staffers behind the scenes that I've heard a lot of great things about. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow because I want to get more into football. I want this just to be women's basketball tonight and some of the other sports. And I saw DJ Pickett in person. And, man, like, I met him at the spring game the year before. His body's already changing. And when you stand next to that guy, you just immediately think NFL corner. Now, you could tell he is built different. His arms are ridiculously long. Like, he is ridiculous. And, you know, I was able to hang out, see some friends, family, and all of that. And it was great. Absolutely wonderful. But I met with someone who goes to LSU practices regularly, and he's not a media member. It's a long time buddy. And he's like, Carter, DJ Pickett. It's ridiculous watching him in practice. And Braden Swinson, you know, tweeted out a one-on-one clip that the media is not allowed to film. Y'all, he's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. So, you know, I don't know what else to say. I think we could be you know, bringing back some of the DBU animals that we grew up loving to watch. I'm just really freaking excited about that. So we'll get more into that for tomorrow's show. We'll get back into our typical football groove. You know, as far as baseball is concerned, you know, I see all these tweets from big accounts that say, oh, it's stupid that an LSU fan would say Jay Johnson isn't the guy or that the sky is falling. I really don't know of an LSU fan that thinks LSU baseball is in a lot of trouble. I mean, we lost one series. I've honestly not seen it. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I'm just not worried about losing on the road versus Texas, who's going to probably be in the College World Series. They're really good. We should have won that series. I understand you could look back on it and say, damn, it would have been nice to have that one. I just don't see it being a big deal at all. You know, you do worry about the pitching. You do worry about throwing strikes, all of that. But I'm just not worried about it. LSU softball crushing it. LSU gymnastics crushing it. It's just a great freaking time to be an LSU sports fan. It really, really, really is. Let's go to Cole. He says, the game Saturday was great. I wish they brought Evans in to close it out when it was just 8-7. Look. It's just so hard to predict who your best bullpen guys are going to be because you're dealing with such small sample sizes and you really just kind of have to figure it out as the season moves on. That's always been my thoughts on college baseball bullpens. I have always had a conflicting relationship with how college baseball bullpens are managed because I think it's impossible, really, to judge any college baseball bullpen without knowing a coach's feel on midweek games. And I'll explain it like this. If coaches really care to win midweek games, I would love to know if they really do care to win them. Because I do think the hardest thing in any sport at the collegiate level to do is to manage a pitching staff at the collegiate level. Now, when scholarship increases, when the scholarship limits increase with college baseball, that's I'll probably change my opinion on that. But it's even then, it's just so hard to manage. Well, this guy is throwing this amount, and we should have brought this guy in, and all of that. I don't know. Okay, good. Yeah, send it to me, Cole. I want to see it. Okay, good. I was right. 2017, LSU A&M. Samaya Smith, baller girl, you're right. I mean, look, I always particularly cheer for LSU athletes that had a big injury. And Samaya, holy crap. Our season honestly sank after she got hurt early in the year. Because we had no depth. And I still think if she was healthy, we probably would have been a two seed instead of a three seed. But, man, she's a difference maker. And it's kind of crazy when you go back and look at how the minutes were actually divvied out this year, how many 30-plus minute games Samaya Smith played. Like, it was a ridiculously high amount of 25 to 30-plus minute games for a grinded out post player to play. So there you go. Now, coming up next, boy, oh boy, I've got a fun announcement for each and every one of you that is good for the future of PHL. Let's go.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, X-Y-A-N Imaging. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. PHL is happy to partner with Fast Draft Fantasy. Yes, please go use my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. It is fantasy drafts that literally last only a few seconds. I freaking love best ball fantasy football. There's no managing of the rosters, by the way. Once you draft, you're locked in. And the best thing about Fast Draft Fantasy is you're drafting mostly rookies. So last year, it was one of those things where if you had Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr., you're winning pretty big. So check us out, Fast Draft Fantasy. Please use my promo code Carter at C-A-R-T-E-R, Fast Draft Fantasy, promo code Carter. Once you type that in, it helps you out greatly. And once you start playing best ball fantasy football, I have been fortunate to play. We have partnered with other best ball companies. I am hooked. Underdog is great. Fast Draft, what I like about it is that it's different. Drafts are so freaking fast. And they want to partner with us because they believe I'm a sharp fantasy football player. Couldn't believe it. They said that. They're like, yeah, we think you're a good ambassador for best ball fantasy football. So check it out, Fast Draft. The rounds, it really does not last that long. Pause. Big pause. But please go sign up, use the promo code Carter, get you in a draft. And once you do that, it helps you out in a major way, but it'll help you out. You can win up to $25,000 in some of these drafts. Only $5, $10 drafts, just depending on what drafts you want to do. Check it out. Fast Draft Fantasy. Super pumped up about that. Okay. Now, I want to talk some LSU football. And, you know, they'll be back at practice tomorrow. I am of the belief that quality matters. And not only do I feel that way in football, I feel that way when I do shows. Like, I want to give you the absolute best quality shows I possibly can give you. I feel that based on some of the practice footage that has been released publicly, I want to do videos that add on to the conversation. So I was cutting a video and I was like, you know what? I'll see what the practice footage looks like tomorrow. I do highly recommend you watch our first few practice videos where we started breaking down some intricacies of what I think the LSU run game is going to look like. I do believe the LSU rushing attack will be better next season. All right? I really do believe it because I think Caden Durham has a chance to be amazing. I feel that a guy like Harlan Berry, a true freshman coming in with a lot of hype, has a chance to be amazing. But watch what LSU does instead of what they say in this spring portal cycle. So you had the John Emery story, all right? So John Emery, of course, you know, I know a lot of you feel differently about bringing John Emery back. The one thing is, I am not 1,000% certain he is going to be eligible for a seventh year anyway. But John Emery released a statement, and it said, I am not playing my final seventh year at LSU. I was very pro bringing John Emery back if he is indeed eligible, because I want four scholarship running backs to be in that room. But what LSU is also telling you when you hear about Brian Kelly saying, well, I feel good about my running back room, what that essentially tells you is they feel a lot better about Caleb Jackson. And Caleb Jackson had a brutal season. I understand the run scheme was horrendous last year. Our run sequencing was horrendous. It was unacceptable to have a first-round offensive lineman and multiple other offensive linemen that will be on NFL rosters and not have a good running game. And there's a lot of different reasons as to why, but Caleb Jackson was woefully, and I mean woefully, ineffective last year. So what does that mean? Well, if LSU doesn't really know what exactly is going to happen with the Trey Holly situation, that means on your overall roster, you have three running backs that you feel really good about. Caden Durham, Harlan Berry, and Caleb Jackson. And obviously the thing that makes Caleb Jackson different than those other two running backs is that he's big. He is a unit. He is over 220 pounds. The other running backs are not over 220 pounds. So I will be honest. I am still hopeful for Caleb Jackson. I have a tough time believing, big time, that he would dominate practices, which he did, and have highlight runs like we've seen, and him just be utterly unusable like he was last year. Now, are there big holes in this game? Yeah, he doesn't have elite vision. His feel for the game is a little off. He obviously had a big drop versus Ole Miss early, late in that Ole Miss game as a true freshman. But, you know, I just have a tough time believing he can't be something in this LSU offense. So I'm hopeful that we see Caleb Jackson's. He's had a few good runs in some of the non-filmable open media portions of practice. Let's see what happens. Okay. Now, here's what I'm going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. I want to go all night. I'm in a good mood. I couldn't believe what I just witnessed. I literally could not believe that. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go to Hakeem. I'm hoping we play early Friday night because I live in Georgia and 10 p.m. will be way too late for me to watch and I get up early. Now, you got to stay up. I don't want to hear excuses. You got to stay up for our girls. Okay. Christopher, good to see you in here. Philly. Look at that. Great headshot, man. I just couldn't believe that. Let's take a look at the poll question. Best second half ever. Obviously, overwhelmingly. Might be living in the moment.
A little bit.
Got to put that out there. Let's see. Randy says no, potentially, to Caleb Jackson. How about this? New Orleans Saints send Kellen Moore and the staff to Cam Ward's pro day. Do you believe the Saints? They would have to trade up to the number one overall pick, and they would have to give up a lot to get the number one overall pick. They would have to give up at least the next couple of first rounds to get a guy of Cam Ward's caliber. You tell me if you think it's worth it. You tell me. I don't know. I do not know. Let's take a look at it. I wanted to pull this up. Let's see. So this is from round of 32. Which is this right here. And some of this is bad defense, but man, look at this. Set up the post feed. And this is what I like, okay? Before Samaya Smith gets down into the paint, I felt versus San Diego State, we would have two players down on the blocks. You see what happens if you spread this court around? And look at that post up. That is just nasty. You see, Morrow is not, like, bigger than that girl. It's just an easy, easy, easy play. We need to keep going back to that. Just straight ISO in the block, two-woman game. Love to see it, okay? And then you get into transition right here. Look at this from Samaya Smith, okay? Once again, Morrow tips the ball, and then look at this from Samaya Smith. It's good to have a big that can run the floor like this. Gets the football to Big Foe, and then you have essentially a four-on-two, two-on-two-ish kind of break here. And Flage just all the way through. It's just nasty. It's really, really, really nasty stuff. Okay. God, this LSU team is just ridiculously athletic. Like a last year Poe going crazy on the bench. You love to see it. So, man, that was just, it was just wild. Absolutely wild. Let's go to Chance. I just don't know any of the options really in the transfer portal other than a few of the big names from like the lower levels. So that big man from Bowling Green, that perimeter player from North Texas. But yeah, you know, LSU has lost quite a few players in the portal. Here's my view on it. We weren't good with them. I mean, we know what they look like in a Matt McMahon system. So Mike Williams putting himself into the portal really isn't that big a deal because he's not an SEC caliber player. He's probably more of a Louisiana Lafayette caliber player. But man, I just do not trust our rebuild. I just don't trust it. And now Texas goes and gets Sean Miller. That's another heavyweight coach in our conference. You know, that's a huge step up from Rodney Terry, who's not a terrible coach. He's a solid coach. It is a step up, though. There are just too many damn good coaches in this conference that even if we do get a very, very good team, do we really feel that Matt McMahon can go toe-to-toe with John freaking Calipari, Rick Barnes? Like, it's crazy. I don't even know if Coach Cal's a top five coach in the SEC. That's how good it is in here. Now, in terms of accomplishments, yeah, he's the best in the conference. But, man, there are just so many damn good coaches. I just don't know if we have that. But I defer to Hal. He goes to almost every game. Let's go to Penn. The passing game was unbelievable tonight. Good to see you. Yeah, it's true, Cole, but I don't – if you want fresh reps from practice, then don't practice him. Have him rest. I mean, he's probably not practice ready anyway. Yeah, I don't know, John. I would love to play Tulane. I love Rodney Hunter. That's one of my favorite coaches. That tournament run was crazy. Let's see. We'll take a few more here before we skid at that. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, end of the shot clock, who do I want with the ball in her hands? I'd probably want Michaela, but it's just ridiculous to have two players that can beat so many players off the dribble from the perimeter, and then also have Morrow. It's so tough to match up against in the tournament. So, big shout out to Baller Girl, showing some love with the Super Chat. Really appreciate you. And we will be live tomorrow night. So we'll keep this one, I say short and sweet. We almost went an hour. But we will be back at Better Than Ever tomorrow night for another fun live stream. You know, I think – let's see. So tomorrow night, would y'all want to go – live for about 30 minutes before UL Lafayette? Here's what we might do to make it easier, because I am going to do a practice video tomorrow. We might not go live tomorrow at 6. We might just do a practice video and just come back Wednesday, because the only sporting event Wednesday is the NCAA Men's Swimming and Diving Championships. And that's not until 8. So I know a lot of you want to be tuning in to that. So 6 p.m. Central on Wednesday, we'll for sure go live, but we do have baseball and softball tomorrow. Softball at 6, and baseball at 6:30. They'll both be playing basically at the same time. Softball games in Lafayette, though. So we'll probably just do a video tomorrow. But we might go live for a little bit. There you go. You're all right, though. John Calipari has not been able to overcome Matt McMahon. I'll give Matt McMahon that credit. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Don't forget, go download the Fast Trap app and make sure you put in my promo code CARTER. That's CARTER, and it'll help me in a major way.